Hey, I got good news for everybody. It's not that I'm speaking. It's that Johnny Dyson is here. Yeah! He's in for your sister's wedding and then head back. So, good to see you. How's everybody doing? Things are kind of dead in here tonight, but we're glad you are here. These guys, I just lost this back corner. They're not going to listen a word to me until they give Johnny a hug. You can wait. You can wait. No, we're glad you're here. We didn't play a game beforehand, so we're going to play a mini game, all right? It's nothing big. You all get to play, and it's really not exciting, so don't get too excited. All right, it's just to see, you know, old people, they come alive, and so basically if I were to say, I'm going to show a picture, and you're going to say, is that person still alive, or have they died? You know, which one? So it's not exciting. So if I were to put on a, might be too soon, but if I were to put a picture of Michael Jackson, you would all say, yeah. You're cheering? Okay. So that's the game. All right. First one. We'll start easy. This is a picture of the Mix logo. And here's a picture of Jimi Hendrix. He's dead, right? Dead. He is from the 70s. Good job. Good. Great. All right. Next one. Billy Graham. Old pastor. Dead or? Dead? Alive? All right. What is it? He's alive. All right. Next one. Ford. Gerald Ford. Old president. Your social studies teacher's ghosts are around you right now. What is it? Dead. Good job. Next one. Hank Aaron. Home run champion. What is it? Dead? Alive? Girls don't care? All right, what is he? He's alive. All right, one more. Jimmy Carter, the great Jimmy Carter. Alive? Dead? Don't care? What is he? He's alive. All right, okay. Here you go. Listen to me. Back here. All right. The point is this. You can't argue whether someone is dead or alive. Like, you can't go, nuh-uh, Jimmy Carter, he's dead. You can't do it. It's impossible because he's breathing. He's alive, unless he's died between now and 3:30 this afternoon, which would be terrible. But he's alive, all right? But here's it. But here, you can't argue that. But here's what you can't argue. I can say I'm tall. And if you're 5'3", yes, I'm tall. But if you're 6'6", I'm not tall, right? You can argue that. My wife thinks I'm gorgeous. I'm so hot. I'm the best looking guy in the world. No, I'm not. We can argue. A little too much arguing. A little too much. But here's the point. You can't argue whether someone's dead or alive, all right? But let's think about it in spiritual terms, all right? The Bible talks about being spiritually dead and spiritually alive. All right, so think about that. We're going to get into the text here, but think about that. Are you spiritually dead? Or are you spiritually alive? Now, if you're a Christian here tonight and you're a Christ follower, let's be careful not to just assume that because you go to church you're a Christian. I don't want to guilt trip anybody, but just don't be honest with yourself. It's a hard thing to do, but just be honest with yourself. If you're not a Christian, we're going to basically paint a picture of what it looks like before Christ and after Christ. And Christians, that's what we're going to be doing tonight as well, before Christ and after Christ, looking through the text. How many of you show up to class and you walk into that class saying, I'm not even going to pay attention? You've done that? Yeah, but we have those classes. All right, here's the truth. You come into this building, you come into this room, and you can tune out. Everybody listen. You can tune out, and you might have already made that decision. I'm not going to get anything out of this idiot, and you won't. If you have that mindset. But here's the truth. If you desire to hear from God tonight through His Word and through what He's put on my heart, you will hear something. All right, that's the cool thing about why we gather here and with God in our presence. If you don't want to hear from God, you won't. You won't. But if you really have that desire, you will. So just like you go into class and say, I'm not paying attention today, you can have that same attitude here tonight. I want to challenge you to, because I think God's got something cool here. All right, let's Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. We're just going to go through a couple verses and we'll get out quick. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all, that's every single one of you, once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So what's he saying? We are all sinners, right? In Romans, remember that? We are all sinners, right? And we're born that way, right? We can't help it. The other day, I was up here, I guess it was last Monday or Tuesday, and Kristen had made lunch. And so Dustin and I went over to their house real quick and grabbed a quick lunch, and Brock was there. And they're also taking care of this another little boy about Brock's age named Maddox. And so we're sitting there. And so we're standing there talking at the end, about to leave. And I kind of see Brock right here. And that little punk, sorry, literally, he takes these pliers that he had. And I wasn't looking. I was talking to Dustin. He put it on my leg here and ripped it out. About kicked him. I didn't. But I wanted to. But do you think, well, I was going to say he didn't learn that from his parents, but maybe he did. Maybe he did. But here's the point. No one taught him how to do that, right? No one taught him to hurt people. Or, you know, if you're on a baby and they try to hit you, no one probably taught them that. They're sinful nature. It's a sinful nature. Okay, let's think about laws. Let's think about, okay, you know that we have laws in this land that say if you kill someone, you either in Texas are going to get killed yourself, or you're going to go to jail for a long time, right? So there's consequences. There are known consequences. I know that if I do this, this is what's going to happen to me. It's the court system. It's the law. Then why do people still do it? Because we are wicked, sinful people that without Christ, it's the way we are. And here's for you. If I were to announce it, we would put signs up there that said no texting in service. What does that mean to some of you? I'm about to get out my phone and forget y'all. I'm going to do what I want, right? Let's be honest. You're right. Someone texts you, you're going to look at it. That's the way we are. Why do you do that? Why do you do that? Because we have wicked hearts. We all do, me included. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. We are born, if you've ever been around children, you've seen this. We are born sinful. We are born just wicked, wicked people. But here's the truth. You aren't born as a Christian. Having some conversations with people in the past, people a lot of times get into this lie that if they were born into a Christian family and go to church every day, and they might even read their Bible, that makes them a Christian. Right? Am I right? There's. If I go to church and I'm a good person and I make decent grades, I'm a Christian. That's far from the truth. So we are all sinners, wicked hearts. What did it say? Lives in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. All right. But here's the good news. The next verse. But God, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love, that's that agape love. You remember that from 2 weeks ago? That selfless, deep love? That's that same word there. Love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not in your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast. All right, that's the verse 9. Other religions, Buddhists, Muslims, a lot of different religions, kind of what they believe is this. If you do enough good, you can get to heaven. You know, it's if you do A, B, C, D, do all these things, you can go to the afterlife. You can go to heaven. But what does Christianity say? It says we are not good enough. We do not deserve this. That's why Jesus came and died, right? So if anybody asks you that, I mean, that's the truth. It is impossible for us to be good enough. Think about the Ten Commandments. Who breaks the Ten Commandments every single day? You do, I promise you. That's elementary school religion. That's just simple, basic, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't hate people, all these things, and we break them every single day, all right? But God, you know, in verse 4, but God sent his son to die, and that's why we're here. Think about this for a sec. So basically, these two passages is, you were all sinners, and then it said, but God loved us. There's a difference. There's death, and then there's life, right? Do you see it? Think about your personal life. Be honest with yourself. I mean, a lot of you were saved at a young age. Is there a difference between pre-Christ, before you were a Christian, and after you were a Christian? I mean, just think about it. Were you one way dead in sin, and then another way alive in Christ? If you were baptized at a very early age, man, that's great. God can move you in that. But there's probably a change in there. And you might not remember it, but you were a wicked, evil person, and you still are, but you have the grace of Christ covering you now, right? Do you think about that? Verse 5, do you consider yourself alive together with Christ? Do you think about that? In verse 6, do you consider yourself seated with Christ? You know, Christ is at the right hand of God, and if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. If you are in Christ, you're seated at the right hand of God, right? That's what it's saying. You walk in that? Think about, let's just do imagination. Think about you were an orphan. Think Aladdin without the genie and without the magic carpet and without the cool monkey. You have no food, you have no home, you've got nothing, right? Think about you being an orphan. You literally have no family. I mean, you're literally in survival mode. And then all of a sudden, for one reason or another, and I know this is a stretch, but listen, follow me. The king adopts you, the king of the land. You got to live in the White House. You had Social Security, Secret Service. I don't know where that came from. Covering you at all times. Think about it. Would you act like an orphan again? No. You would never go begging for food again. You would never desire to live in the slums again. You never would. Same with us spiritually. You were one way, and you were adopted by the king, right? And it's because of that adoption, you were in Christ, right? Are y'all you understand this? But here's the thing. It's a free gift. You didn't deserve it. You aren't better than anybody, right? It was a free gift. It was the same thing as if I came up to you one day and was like, got you something. And I gave you a free laptop. I gave you the nicest Apple, Dell, whatever you want, right? Right. I promise you, you're probably not going to just go home and use it to even your bed. You're not going to just stick it under your bed. You're not going to use it as a coaster, right? You're going to boot it up. Can't wait to get home. You're going to rip open the box, plug it in, charge it, use it, right? Go straight to Facebook and tell everyone how great I was for giving you a new computer. You see, we have this gift. When you get a gift, you don't hide it. You use it, right? You wear the clothes, the shirt. You enjoy the gift. Isn't that what we're supposed to do with grace? Isn't that what grace? If we have this free gift, do we just ignore it? That's spiritually dead. That's spiritually dead. But here's a challenge for us. Listen up to this. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in him. Let's talk about workmanship for a second. I mean, it's kind of a easy word, but it's also a difficult word. The definition that I like to think of is that it was something that was affected or made, right? So God made us. God affected us in such a way. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, okay? So let's think about this. If God doesn't just send his son to die, and so that we might just go to church. You see what I'm saying? He didn't just die on sin so we could read the Bible. He created us for good works. All right, we're saved through faith, right? That was the last passage we read. But we are created in Christ for good works. We're his workmanship. You remember the story in Daniel 5, where God put the hand and he wrote on the walls? Y'all get that over there? Are y'all following? I mean, a hand could come up and just start writing on the walls. He could use this stand. He used a donkey. God did some crazy things in the Old Testament. But here's the truth. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. He doesn't need to, but he wants to, because we are his workmanship. He created us. He affected us. Let's think about that. Close your eyes, but let's dream. Let's just dream. Imagine that a life that is in Christ. All right, throw out. Don't think, if I'm a true Christian, God's going to send me to Africa. He might. He sent Johnny to Mexico and is using him that way. That's incredible, right? But most of you, he's probably not going to. He might. But let's think. Imagine that you and a couple of your friends really decide to take this seriously. Maybe it's just you. Maybe it's you and a couple of your friends. Imagine what being his workmanship is like. And you started seeing how God was using you as a tool for your friends. All right? What if you stopped viewing yourself as just 7th and 8th graders? What if you started viewing yourselves as ministers of the gospel to your school? You became a pastor to your baseball team. You know what I'm saying? Not a preach a sermon every week, get up there and say, do all this. But man, you just shared Christ with people. You just pointed them to Christ. You just did these good works that we just talked about. Because God wants to use you. And a lot of times we just get so bogged down in coming to church and just trying to stay out of trouble that we forget that God wants to use us. All right? I hear a lot, I just don't hear from God. I just don't know what God wants me to do. Well, here's the truth. All you have to do is listen and obey. You can listen through reading God's word, through praying, through your friends. But here's the truth. You just have to show people Ephesians 2:10, that you were a sinner, Christ died for you, and you have grace in that, right? And I just sense a lot of distraction right now. I feel like the distraction's in here, and it's the same distraction that's in school. You got to learn to listen to God despite distractions, right? The bass back here, it makes this humming noise sometimes, you know? But when you're focused on God, I've noticed this. If I'm not focused on God, I can hear that buzzing sound. When I'm focused on God and worshiping, I don't hear it. And it's a mindset. What are you focused on? Are you focused on a boy, a girl? When you're focused on those things, it takes your eyes off of Christ, right? Girls are fine. Guys are fine. But when you're focused on that, that's not what your eyes are at, right? You're not focused on those things. But if you and your friends really decided, you personally have to make this decision, and if you join with a group and start doing this and started viewing yourself as God's workmanship that someone wanted to use, here's the cool thing. You can start doing some powerful, powerful things in the name of God, right? Does that excite you at all? Don't raise your hand, but if you haven't been used by God, man, you're missing out. There's nothing greater in the world, all right? If you've been used by God through a certain way, you know the feeling. You know what that's like. Hear from God and obey. That's all it is. And then when you are sons and daughters of Christ, like we talked about earlier, if you're that orphan that's adopted by the king and you can walk in that, why are you acting like spiritual orphans? When are you going to set your mind on being a son or a daughter of the king and walk in that? Verse 10 says, walk in that. Think about a tree. Okay, if you're a tree and I cut you down and you're laying on the ground, what's going to happen to the rest of that tree? It's going to decay. It's going to rot. Why? Because it's not connected to the life source, which is the nutrients in the ground. You can pour water on it. You know, you can do everything you want to. But because you're not connected to the life source, you're going to die. You're going to decay out. this is so true in our spiritual lives. When we're connected to the Father, man, we can find life. But when you get disconnected, some of you have been there. Some of you have been reading your Bible. You're disconnected, but you're just saying, God, teach me. And you're just not feeling it. All right? It's possible to do that. Some of you don't even touch your Bible, and that's why you're feeling dry. That's why you're missing out on this. But here's the deal. You are a son and a daughter of God. You have that authority. You are called to be, you are his workmanship. You are created in Jesus for good works. Where is it? Where is it? What are the good works that God's doing? Because he wants to use you, but if you're missing it, he's not going to use you. We're going to talk about this in our groups, but show me your works. Are you dead? Are you alive? Because if you're alive, if you're going to say that you're alive in Christ, you've got to show me your works. You're saved by grace, but you've got to show me the works. You can't just call yourself a Christian and not be his workmanship. You can't do it. Just think about how God could use you in your teams and in your classes. This summer, when you have nothing else going on, what an incredible time to be used by God. What an incredible time. Instead of just watching soap operas and wasting time, see how God can use you. Here's the truth. Let's wrap up. Let's just read this again. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Walk in it, guys. Walk in it. See the life and being alive in Christ that he's called you to. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these students. Lord, thank you for those who you're speaking to right now, who have a desire to follow you and to be obedient to you. Father, thank you for those who aren't sure, who just kind of doubt whether you really exist, who have questions, Father. Father, I just pray that you will give them courage to ask someone these questions, Father, that you will open their eyes to see, give them the answers. Fathers, those in here who have no desire for you at all, Father, may you use one of these other students just to love on them, to be your workmanship in their life, Father, so they may see you, Father. Father, forgive us of our sin. Forgive us for the wicked hearts that we all have, Father. Father, but I just really feel like you are going to rise many students out of this group, Father, to do some incredible things for you, Father. May they learn to hear from you, to obey you. Father, they may be your workmanship in their schools, in their homes, in their friend groups. Father, help them to never be satisfied with a consumeristic lifestyle, Father, but to be passionate followers of you.